just like to tell stories. And sometimes it can be like, oh, another one. But, you know, there's some value in some stories. And God loves for us to remember stories of what has happened in the past. He loves for us, in fact, he recorded many accounts of things that he did in the past. Because he wants to, like, wow, God did that. Well, this situation I'm facing, he did that then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do this again. It lifts our faith up. He instituted feasts in the Old Testament that commemorated major events in Israel in Jewish history, so that we remember these events. We remember today that he died on the cross but rose again. We remember it because it builds our faith that Jesus defeated the last enemy, even death. There was times in the Old Testament where he said, hey, take some stones after what just happened. Take some stones and build a pile of rocks right there. And so when people in the future walk by and see that pile of stones, they'll say, what is that there for? And so you could say, hey, so we'll remember what God did in the past. Isaiah 51:1 says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. How many here seek the Lord? How many here seek the Lord? Come on. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. When I think of the rock, I think of Jesus Christ himself, the rock. And I think, you know, God wants us to look to the rock from which we're hewn. We were created in his image. Look to the hole from which I dug you out. Look from where I brought you. Don't look back with regret and shame, but look where I brought you, because I want you to remember the great things I've done for you, because I have more great things I want to do for you. And look to the rock from which I carved you out, the character and person of God himself. In the image of God, I created you. And I put my spirit inside of you if you put your faith in me. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Recently, I called an area pastor to ask some advice about something. And he said, you know, I'd like to come out. I've never been to Leroy. I've never been to your facility. I'd love to just meet you and see your place. And he came out and he started asking questions about this old movie theater and that whole process that happened in renovating it. And as I was just answering his questions and telling him about it, I thought, you know, there are people here who experienced some mighty things God did in those years and experienced some miracles and gave of themselves sacrificially. And then there's many others who weren't here at that time and you don't know. And I'm going to just share a few slides quickly to review something God did, and then I'm going to explain why. I want you to see that again. If you would, Bonnie, go ahead and start the slides. This is the first one is of the place this church used to own before this. Mansion over on Trigon Park is where we met on the first floor. So go ahead, and then we started renting the place, and this is what the office area looked like when we first moved here, and things moved along quickly, but there was a lot of work that had to be done. If you think back to that and then look to where it is now, and so many people gave of themselves. This was what this place looked like inside. It was quite beautiful, wasn't it? 1933 pop stains on the chairs yet, and so many awesome people gave of themselves to help in so many ways. Look at that young girl on the right there. Go ahead, keep moving. Look at those beautiful people there, scraping a wall. I mean, so many people, diverse people, gave of themselves. We even got that guy to work right there. Don did an amazing amount of work here. People up on ladders. The ceiling goes way up high above this one, and there's. Got the kids involved, pulling nails. Look how high the original ceiling is in here. And had to tear that all off. And this is what this backstage looked like when we bought the building back here. And we insulated the place. That's what the front of the building looked like. So many steps in the process. Keep it going. Had other teams come in and help build the walls, paint the walls. Got the youth group. Is that Kate Parmenter back? I can't remember. Look at Brian on the left there. But bit by bit, pieces of this building got put back together. People celebrating the financial donations that came in along the way. The bathrooms being built. And remember, every Sunday, we would have church in here in whatever condition this place. There's a pensive guy sitting there in the upstairs youth room. It's a little dull. Celebrating $95,000 that came in for the renovation. Scaffolding and work being done all over this place. There's hardly a square inch of this building that didn't get touched. And every Saturday we'd have to clean the place up, get it ready for church in the morning. There's a good group of men. There, occasionally there were personal conflicts that came up. But we worked through them. You know, I almost forgot. It took 5 years. 5 years of working in here, a bit by bit, till we got to this. Yeah, that's a big wow. And I looked, as I was telling this pastor, I thought, God did amazing things. And there were so many miracles that happened along the way. For even the person who sold us the building. I mean, at one point he said, well, if you could either rent it or you could buy it for this amount. And we had to think about it a bit because we knew there was a lot of work that would need to be done. And we went back and said, you know, actually we would like to buy it for that amount. And he said, I never said that amount. And so we rented it for a couple more years. And then finally he came back to us and said, you know, if you offer me that amount right now, I think I hit the lottery. And so we put an offer for it. And then our attorney said, now look, they've accepted the offer, but it's on a condition that it has to be closed on this purchase before the end of December, or if it goes into the next year, there's tax implications for the seller, and the price is going to go way up. And he said, we're already into November here. There's no way this is going to happen by the end of the year. There's no way. There's holidays. There's inspectors that have to do things. There's commercial bankers that have to look over all kinds of documents. There's lawyers that are going to get involved from every side. It'll never happen before the end of the year. Then he called me about the middle of December and said, your people must really be praying because we have a closing date next week in December. And so there was that miracle. Then some officials from the village came to us and said, our community has been given a Main Street improvement grant, and you're welcome to apply for funds. I said, are you sure churches are okay to receive these state funds? Oh, yeah, we asked them that specific question. They said we could. But you had to get approved, so we got approved. We had to pay for it up front and then file all the paperwork downstate, and it was supposed to then come back our reimbursement, and it got downstate to Albany, and somebody at a desk in Albany said, churches aren't allowed to have this money. And so the local officials were embarrassed, state officials were embarrassed. We were in a bind now, and we prayed, and we talked to our assembly person and got all kinds of state officials involved. And so they got their lawyers looking at things, and they found some obscure language in some state law and said, you know what? We have found a way to make this happen. And you know what happened is out of that, we ended up getting about three times as much as we originally applied for. And we were able to boost the renovations even farther. There were safety miracles that happened right and left. There was Don Schaefer, I remember, falling into a hole back here in the stage and came out unscathed and unhurt. There was a guy pulling off the old wall cloth. You saw a picture of him up on top of a ladder. That's like another 10 or 15 feet above this, isn't it, Henry? okay, 7 feet higher than this right here, which is pretty high. And something let go and almost pulled him off the ladder. And they were like angels holding him up. And there were people praying in the background. If you didn't see your picture up there and you were here, it wasn't because you weren't important. There were people praying. There were people giving. There were people supporting this project in so many ways. There was one time we had scaffolding up here. I think they were putting up the framework that holds up our projectors and doing other work with sound cables going across the top up there. And for some reason, all of a sudden, in moving the scaffolding around, a huge, heavy plank fell off and came hurtling down to this hard concrete floor, point first, and it landed like 6 inches from Tim Parmenter's shoulder. I mean, it just went wham and just missed him. And I thought, oh, those people that are praying, thank God for them right now. But there were so many miracles. Other pastors who saw the building before we started, saw what we bought, have said to me since we finished, they've said things like, you know, to be honest, when we saw that building, we thought you were crazy. We thought there's no way they can do that. And, you know, I thought about that and I realized there was no way we could do that, but God can do that. And there's so many things that are more important than buildings. This building is just a tool, and it made the possibility for, I remember when I first was even being considered as a pastor here by the elders who were here, one of the things they said to me in my first meeting with them was, the next pastor who comes here, his first assignment is to get us in another building, to get us in a place we can grow. And it's just been a tool for that. It's been a tool where people have been welcome to come in, and we've been able to grow in numbers, which God cares about numbers because numbers are people. And he cares about, though, more than that, he cares about transformed lives. And Gary Bassett, would you come on down here? I'm going to borrow you for a moment. But God cares about changed lives. Here's what I want to say to you. People were saying, I can't believe they did that with a building. But you know what? When we needed God's grace, it was there. It was there then. I don't know if I could do it now. I couldn't because I'm not being asked to do it now. But when we were asked to do it, God's grace was there at the moment. And God's grace is there for you, whatever you're going through. God has prepared you for this day, and his grace is available to you for this day. His grace is there for the issues you face. His grace is there. But he cares. Nothing excites me more than seeing lives changed. And Gary, I was thinking of you this morning. You're an elder in this church. You and Carolyn are pillars. There was a day you would never would have believed that.
That's for sure. There's a day that a lot of people would have never believed that. They would have not let me in the door.
What was the main issue you struggled with?
Alcoholism.
And how far back did that go and how long?
Oh, when I was 13.
13. And gripped by it. Gripped by it. People tell me how angry you were back then. not a good home life being brought up in. But
my father served under Patton, and he was a strict, you do it my way or the highway. Yeah.
So that was not an easy situation to grow up in. And it formed some of his life. Thank you, brother. Yes, yeah. But look what God has done. And I wanted you to hear, looking back on a testimony of something God has done, because there's some of us who find ourselves struggling with weakness, and we wonder, could this ever be in my past? Could I ever put this behind me? And I want to tell you, God can put it behind you. Amen. God can do it. God can give us, God has already extended his son to die on a cross and be raised from the dead to defeat sin and defeat habits. And I love hearing testimonies of miracles God's done in the past, not only for my ears, but for our ears, that our faith corporately would be lifted up. And listen, generation after there are people here who your history goes back way back beyond my time here, beyond that building, back to the early days of Living Waters Church. Then there are some here who you've come in recent years, and we're just starting to get to know one another. You've just started coming since that. But I want to say to you that God is saying, I want you to remember some things, just like they had the stones in the Old Testament on piles to say, just so when people say, what's that? What's that for? And so we'll remember what he's done. Why did I want Gary to come up here? Because I want you to remember things God has done. Because the same God who was alive and living and powerful yesterday is alive, living, and powerful today. And there was so much grace on our people for 5 years to keep plucking away at that huge project. And God's grace is there. And Living Waters Church, we have to pass down the things God has done in the past. We have to pass them down to the next generation and to the fresh faces that God brings our way. And the things you hear in this place, the things God does in your life personally, it's our responsibility to pass them on. How did Moses write about creation? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses wrote them. But Moses' life came along in the book of Exodus. How did he write about the things that happened before him in Genesis? How did he write about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How did he write about Joseph in the Old Testament? How did he write about Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve? He wrote because people passed the stories down from one generation to another. And we have those things written because they were passed down faithfully by faithful people. And we have to be faithful with the things God gives us to say. As we closed out a period of time here at the church where many went through the book Reset, 20 days to establish a consistent prayer life, it's appropriate to look back and say, what did God add to my life in that time so that we can carry it forward? And it's appropriate at any time we're coming into a new year to look back and say, what did God do in my life in 2017? What did he add to my life that I can take forward in 2018? It's always appropriate to look back, not with regret or shame, because those things have been covered over and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's appropriate to look back, to look for the things God did, to look for God in the things of the past, so that we can move forward with faith that the same God that did those miracles will do more in the future. Listen, generation after, there are challenges to come. There's challenges right now. There's challenges about now this church has launched a separate charity called the Hope Center of Leroy. Somebody recently said some negative things to me about that, about, oh, I don't see much future in that. Look at it. It's not doing much. And I thought, oh, you're saying this to the wrong guy right now. You're saying this to the wrong person. Do you know what we went through? As you see, I can take stuff that we went through. I can take 5 years of incrementally seeing a building transform with miracle after miracle after miracle. And so when I look at the Hope Center, I don't see what it is now. I see what it's going to be. I saw this building done before we started it. Before we bought it, I saw what it was going to look like in my heart by faith. And I see what the Hope Center is going to do for our community, for our culture, for this area. I see it by faith. I'm not looking at a couple of programs that are happening once a month and a few special events. I'm looking at a ministry that's going to affect many, 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 many lives for decades to come. And that's what I see in my heart. And so don't give me any stuff about, oh, it isn't much. I don't have much faith for it. Listen, God is going to do some great things. See, I got a little riled up over that, didn't you? Psalm 145 is a psalm. It's called a psalm of David, or as one version says, it's David's psalm of praise. David's psalm of praise. So not only did he write it, but it's David's psalm. It's his song. You ever hear someone say, that's my song? They identify with it, that's my song. Man, that one expresses my heart. This Psalm 145 is David's song. He wrote it, but it's his song. He wrote some other great songs too, but this one is this is David's psalm. This is what he was passionate about sharing and communicating. And I'm just going to walk through this quickly with you this morning as we look back in order to have faith to look ahead. David says in Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God. Extol means to speak honorably about. I will speak honorably about you, my God. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. That sounds like a long time. Can you hear the passion in his voice? Oh, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm really looking forward. I've had some encounters with you, God, and this is the posture I'm taking before you. I'm humbling myself, and for the rest of my days, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless you. It's an incredible focus on purpose and passion. And there's something that happens when we allow God and allow our faith to be expressed with purpose and with passion. When we acknowledge with honesty, this is where our heart's at. There are times when I have to be in my life. There's something that happens when I've discovered when I tell him where my heart's really at, but give God permission to take me farther. He hears me. There's times when I don't feel very passionate or I don't feel very in love with him, but I can be honest and say, God, this is how I'm feeling today, but I love you and I want more from you, and I want our relationship to deepen anyway. Would you help me with that? I just make myself willing. You ever hear either a message that your pastor's preached or you've read something in the Bible and say, well, I'm not willing to do that? You ever come across something like, I don't know, I'm not willing to do that? Here's one key, is to say, I'm not willing, Lord, but I give you permission to make me willing. That's a great prayer to pray in that moment, is, Lord, if you'll make me willing, I'll go this way, because I'm yours. I'm yours. This is what I know. Because of what you've done in the past, I know you've been faithful, and so I'm yours, and I give you permission to use me in the future. So how do we position ourselves before God in such a way as to fulfill his destiny? We humble ourselves. We praise him. It's something we do every day. Verse 3 says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable reminds me of the stars in the sky. They say, scientists say, that with the human eye, probably not mine anymore, but with most human eyes, younger than mine, that we can see about 3,000 stars, if we're not living in the village anyway. But you could see potentially around 3,000 stars. However, scientists say that there are 7 sextillion stars that they've discovered. That is, by the way, that's 7 followed by 22 zeros. If you ever wondered what sextillion means, it's 7 by 20 followed by 22 zeros. That's how many they know about. Now, the Bible says that God counts the numbers of the stars and he gives names to all of them. That's greatness. That's unsearchable greatness. It even says that he's counted all the hairs on our heads in this room. Now, that's getting easier for him in my case, but that's still a lot of counting. And if he knows that, do you think he knows everything else that's going on in your life? And he cares about you. Verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. It's the responsibility of every generation to declare his acts to the next. We've got to tell what we've seen and heard. We've got to. That group of men, elders who invited me to come here, say, just had a sense of, okay, God's done these incredible things in this church's history, but the next generation's probably not going to be connecting to God very well if we stay in this, either renting another place on Saturday night or sitting on metal chairs in a little house. We're going to need something else in order to move forward. And that generation decided to make the commitment and sacrifice to make it happen. The next generation's projects will be different, but they're going to take no less amount of faith. And when we're challenged with them, we're going to lean on God and His grace is going to be there. It's our job to tell of what happened before us. It's our job. Verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. That's what we do in our quiet times. That's what we do in our time of communion with Jesus. We meditate on his character, his nature, his works, the things he's done. It's not about seeing how much of the Bible you can read, although reading as much of it as you can is awesome. It's about connecting with this majestic Jesus who defeated the devil and the power of death. Verse 6 says, I will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. So now out of our quiet times, this is talking about what we're going to do in our common language. I'm going to speak about him. It's not just about what we say and sing in church. It's about everyday life. It's about letting people know God cares about them. It's about being willing to share how he's answered prayer. And when people say, well, I don't know if God answers prayer, you have a testimony that says, oh, let me tell you a few of the times he's answered prayer. Let me pray with you about that. God cares about that. You know, God really loves you. I'm sorry you're going through that, but God's got a way. Let's pray together. Someone wants to argue about whether God is good or not. I remember somebody getting in my face about something that happened that was really difficult in their life. They were like, how can a good God do that? And I said, do you see that guy right over there? It was just some random person. Yeah. How would you like it if I blame you for everything he's done? What are you talking about? I said, well, that's what you're doing right now. You're blaming God for stuff that God didn't do. God is good. And God's got a way out. We live in a broken world, but no matter what has happened, God has a way forward. Oh, Jesus. Verse 7. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness. Here we go again. They shall utter the memory. They'll speak of it. They'll utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. His goodness is great goodness. The passing of time doesn't lessen it. The release of a miracle in your life doesn't somehow sap his supply of power towards you. That, okay, you're draining it quickly. There isn't much power left for you. I've done. No, his goodness is great goodness. You are not draining his supply of grace and goodness. So if God is really good in a great way, then what should you expect? What should you expect from him? Great things. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, expect great things from God. Or get near a neighbor and tell him that. I think we need to do that again. Expect great things from God. Expect great things. You know, it's good to pause and remember. We're always strategizing about how to teach our kids, our youth, the Word of God. And that's important. But the Bible says to utter the memory, to remember his works. Verse 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. It's good to know his word. It's good to remember his works. God is good. It's good at all the time. All the time. He's good when things are going well, and when things are going difficult, when there's been things didn't go just like you thought, there's been a failure or a fall, he's still good. God is still good. When there's some bump in the road, God is still good. Corey Ten Boom passed away a few years ago. Corey as a young girl, her and her family, her father was a devout Christian, her family was devout Christians, and they rescued Jews during the Nazi era. They rescued them, hid them in their home, smuggled them to safety. And do you have that picture of Corey somewhere? There she is. If you've never read any of her stuff before, I would start with this one, The Hiding Place. She's written tons of books, but The Hiding Place is an amazing story. But she, her family got found out, and they got sent to prison camps, concentration camps. And she got separated from her father, never saw him again. But she and her sister got sent to the same camp, and her sister Betsy was just so full of grace and love and forgiveness. She was forgiving the Nazis, forgiving the prison guards, walking in such love all the time. And so, and Corey would struggle and struggle with this stuff, just feeling just like there's garbage inside of hatred and issues like that. And years later, I mean, while she was in concentration camp, by the way, her sister passed away in camp. And she was miraculously let free. And history has revealed that it was a mistake. They mistakenly let her go free. But God had something in store for us and for her in setting her free. But she wrote these words. She said, "Often I've heard people say how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather." And she said, "Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when my sister Betsy starved to death before my very eyes in a German concentration camp." She didn't say God killed her sister, but she said God was still good when all that was happening. "I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark. There was darkness in my heart. And I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. 'No, Corey,' said Betsy, 'he's not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him.'" Corey concluded, "There's an ocean of God's love available. There's plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love and goodness, whatever the circumstances. God is good." Lori, if you'd come, please. There's a verse later in Psalm 145 that says, "Your hand, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." I remember when I think of, I love my parents, both of them, but the one that was most nurturing was my mom. And I remember her hands, she could work with those hands. She could put them in a garden soil and plant rows and rows and rows of vegetable plants and can with them. She could use those hands to cook and prepare and make sandwiches, make lunch, make breakfast. She could do so much with those hands. She could use those hands on the backside once in a while too, but even that was for my sister, of course, not for me. But even then, her hand was a hand of love. It was a hand of goodness. She was out for my good. God's hands are always open to us to demonstrate his goodness. Always. Last quote I want to make from Psalm 145 is from verse 18. "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Sometimes when a tragedy happens in our country, they'll call for moments of silence. Sporting events and all kinds of things, let's have a moment of silence. I think these moments of silence are actually fake worship services for people who don't know the Lord. Because the Bible says he draws near to those who call on him. I've never had any dramatic encounters with Jesus in a moment of silence, but I have when I've called on him. And God wants people to call on him, and he draws near. He's good. We'll close with one last scripture. Luke 19, Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had only known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. They'll not leave you in one stone upon another. The Romans did this a few years later. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus looked at the condition of Jerusalem, the culture, the rejection of God, the hardness of heart, and he wept over it. He said, oh man, if you'd only known the opportunity that was there. And his grace has been passed down from generation to generation. We can look at our county, our region, our community. We can see the brokenness in families, and we can look at it, and it ought to bring that same spirit of brokenness that Jesus experienced, that experience of sorrow over it. But I want to tell you, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to reach this generation. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. It's going to take risk. But I'm telling you, the DNA of this church, the DNA of this house, is that there's generations that have passed down to us risk. There's generations that have passed down to us tenacity, endurance, perseverance, generosity, hard work. Is your life busy as it is now? Add that building project to your life and see how busy your life can be. There was an incredible amount of sacrifice in those days. We can impact this next generation with the same character that God's deposited in generations before us that have brought us to this place. I want to ask you to stand, and I want to divide you in half here mentally. And I don't know where the halfway age would be. I'm not even going to suggest one. But what maybe you would consider yourself a part of the older generation, maybe you consider yourself part of the newer generation, younger generation, maybe though spiritually you might be older, but you consider yourself part of a new generation here at this church. I don't care what you consider yourself part of today, but I want to ask you to close your eyes and forget about anybody around you. And if you think you're the younger generation and your wife holds up your hand, and when it's time for the older generation to hold up your hand, then that just tells you what she thinks. But anyway, now close your eyes, seriously. And we're going to pray separately. I want the labels, but if you've been here in this house and have been part of incredible sacrifices that have brought this church to this place, or you're up in years and you've walked with the Lord, I just want you to lift your hands. I just want you to lift your hands towards heaven with all eyes closed and just give him thanks for his faithfulness to you. And then I want you to pray for the other half of this room. I want you to pray for the other half of this room, for God's grace on them, for the task that he's going to put at their hands. Consider the environment they're living in and call out to God for grace upon them. Ask God's help for them. Don't despise their youthfulness, and don't believe the lie that they're not up for it. God will pour out his grace on them, and they'll be up for it. Just as God has been faithful to bring this gospel across generations to us, he's going to be faithful to bring it to the next generation. Amen. Go ahead and just whisper, call out, cry out. Call out your prayers for that generation. Call it out just for God's grace on them. Hallelujah. And if you're a part of the half that hasn't raised your hands yet, you're in the newer generation, forget what nobody look around right now. Just lift up your hands. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray and just thank God for his faithfulness to you. Come on, give him thanks. And thank him for those who've gone before you. Thank him for those who passed down the gospel faithfully to us. Thank him for it. And open your heart to what God put in the generations before us. They have something to give you. Don't devalue them because they're of their age. Embrace the strength. Embrace the DNA that God has put in them that has brought the gospel to this day, and embrace those strengths, and pray for them that God's not finished with them yet. You don't want to be done when you're 60 years old. You want to keep going. They want to keep going too. Pray for them. God, use them. Let the last seasons of their life be their most fruitful seasons. Bless them, Lord. They aren't done. Let them be effective. Pour that strength that they have in me. And Lord, let their strength be renewed like the eagles. Pray for them. Hallelujah.
Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Your love is devoted like a ring of silver gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge your love to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to this day. And we look back with encouragement, not with regret or shame. All of us have cause for that. But Lord, you've washed it away by your blood. Lord, we look back to remember your goodness, your power, your mighty acts, your works, your testimonies. And Lord, on them we build and we look ahead. In this year, we thank you that you're always going to be good and faithful. Your grace will be there for each day. We look forward with faith and expectation. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.